Matthew chapter 12. The message today is unperformed miracles. We're going to consider passages having to do with our Savior's miracles, but I wanted to put today about his unperformed miracles. So let's look in Matthew chapter 12, in verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, Master, you would see a sign, a miracle from you. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. Notice, they asked for a miracle, a sign. But here is an unperformed miracle, something asked for that Jesus will not perform. Now, look at John chapter 6. I'm reading random passages, and I'll try to put them together as we go along. In John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus says at verse 27, work not for the food which perishes, but for the food which abideth unto eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give you, give unto you for him the Father God hath sealed. It said therefore unto him, what must we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. They said therefore unto him, what then doest thou for a sign, that you may see and believe? What workest thou? And there was no miracle performed. Now let's look at Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 23. Luke 23, verse 8. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was of a long time desirous to see him, because he had heard concerning him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. And he questioned him in many words, but he answered him nothing. Now, look over at verse 39. Our Savior was crucified with two malefactors, and let's hear what one of them said. And one of the malefactors that were hanged railed on him, saying, art not thou the Christ? Save thyself and us. Now, let's look at John again. John chapter 12. And this will be enough to read. John chapter 12, verse 36. While you have the light, believe on the light, that you may become sons of light. These things said Jesus, and he departed and hid himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, so many times, yet they believed not on him. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we thank you that you have given us an accurate account of the life and the works of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. Let us know that unless you had recorded it for us, we would never have considered that man could behave in such a way, nor that your Son would behave in such a way. But we are thankful that you've given us the truth, and having read it this morning and desiring to consider even more scriptures, we pray that thou shalt help us to understand about the unperformed miracle of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Help us to that end this morning. We thank you that we are here. We remember that son come and they're hungry, because your son has said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And some hunger and thirst for the word of God, so let them not be disappointed, and strengthen us and teach us concerning your son and his will for men and his will for our lives. We confess our sins, be faithfully just and forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. So many people, Christians as well as unbelievers, when they read the life of Christ, they are troubled and find difficulty in believing the miracles that he performed in the Bible. The remarkable thing is this. I've looked over every recorded miracle that Jesus ever performed, and I am not in the least concerned as to whether he performed those miracles or not. It is evident. A man with a fair, intelligent mind may read the account of our Savior performing miracles, and if his heart is open, the Spirit of God will say, this is true. So when I read the miracles, even though some of them are staggering, telling me that Jesus walked on the water, telling me that Jesus took 5 loaves of bread and fed 5,000, telling me that a man is born blind and the Lord Jesus makes clay and puts it on his eyes and sends him to wash and his eyes are open. I read all of those things and I marvel at those things, and I understand that no one has come to God when empowered by the Father to do such things, but I'm not troubled in belief. I believe in the miracles that our Savior performed. But what is the most difficult thing to believe is in the miracles that Jesus did not perform. You say, well, how can you be concerned and upset with the miracles that Jesus did not perform? For this reason. If you look at the number of miracles that Savior did perform that are recorded, you will find that there are 35 distinct miracles, each one specified. 35 miracles recorded. But if you look throughout the other passages, such as Matthew 4 and 8 and 9 and 12 and 14 and 15 and 19 and 21, you will find 9 other passages telling us the abundance of the miracles that Jesus Christ performed. So you have 35 recorded miracles, but there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miracles that our Savior performed. And let me tell you this. This is why I laugh at man today. Those that lived when Christ was on earth, not one man ever doubted that he performed the miracle. They knew he did. And so because they could not deny he performed the miracle, they attributed his power to Satan, but they did not deny the miracle. And so the Lord Jesus, as a miracle worker, and this is what is so thrilling, they bring to him every known disease of man, representatively, because you have 5 senses, and at times, sight needs healing, at times, hearing needs healing, at times, there are deformities, put his hand, lame in the leg. Here is man with all his needs, and they come to the Lord Jesus, and he is equal to every demand made upon him as a miracle worker. And that also makes it harder for me to believe in the miracles that Jesus did not perform. Because if you have read in John chapter 5, and put it over, this is what the somebody is. I told you that our Savior will perform any miracle upon man that would meet his needs. And it says in John chapter 5 that there is in Jerusalem a pool, and around that pool there are 5 porches, and in these porches are sick and lame and withered. Every imaginable disease person is in those 5 porches. And the Lord Jesus, the great miracle worker, comes to that place, and he goes up to a man that has been afflicted for 38 years. And he says to that man, "Will you be made whole?" And the man says, "Why, I have no chance." He said, "This pool, when it's stirred by the angel, the first one that gets in, he's healed." He said, "But look at me," he said, "I'm an impotent man, I'm helpless, I can't get there." And the Lord Jesus said, "Take up your bed, you walk." And the man who had no hope, and the hope that he did have, he was unable to reach that hope. With a word, the Lord Jesus said, "Take up your bed and walk." And the man did what the Lord Jesus said. Now remember, I told you that there were 5 horses filled with other people that were paralyzed, that were lame, that were withered, every imaginable disease. And Jesus went up to one of them and healed him. And then Jesus walked away and left all the others in the same condition they were in when he came. Does that trouble you? The Savior, and it would have cost him nothing, what he did for the one, he could have done for all. I will show you. You'll find that in Mark chapter 1, as in the other Gospels, a leper approaches the Lord Jesus. One leper. And he says, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou hast made me clean." And the Lord Jesus, moved with compassion, touches the leper and says, "I will be thou made clean." He said, "Well then, he heals one." You'll find in Luke chapter 17 that from a great distance, 10 lepers say, "Master, have mercy upon us." And the Lord Jesus said to 10 of them at one time, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And if the 10 went, they were cleansed. Now think, to heal one is no greater difficulty to the Lord Jesus than to heal 10. And he healed one leper, and then he healed 10 lepers. And for the Lord Jesus to heal that one man in John 5, it was no more difficult for him to heal him than to heal all of them that were in those 5 porches. And the Lord Jesus saw them lying there, and he walked away and left them just as they were. And that does not affect you. I want you to understand that our Savior is not only aware of it, but he casts his behavior like that of the Father in the teeth of the children of Israel. In his first message in Luke chapter 4, our Savior is preaching to them, and he says, "There were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, that Elijah was only sent for one of them. And the other widows were left to starve to death." He said, "There were many lepers in Israel in the days of Elisha, and there was no leper cleansed except Naaman." And when he said that, it gripped those to whom he was speaking. They were infuriated, because he said, of all that could have been healed and fed and provided for, there were only 2. And these 2 were not Jews, but they were Gentiles. And when they heard it, they were infuriated. Well, the thing that upset me is this. If God could take care of one widow woman, and this is how destitute she was, when Elijah came and said, "I want something to eat," after he had asked for a drink of water, she said, "I can give you the water, He said, all I have is a handful of meal and a little oil in a cruse. And I'm going to take two sticks, and I'm going to make a little fire, and I'm going to bake a cake, and I'm going to eat it with my son, and we're going to die. And Elijah said, you go and bake that cake if you get it to me first. And the woman had faith to do that, and gave to Elijah first. And from that day forth, the meal never ran out, and the oil never ran out. And the Savior says, there were many widows in that condition in Israel, and only the one of them was Elijah's son. Is that up to you? Think of the world filled with starving people, and God could feed them all miraculously. But God let them starve to death. That doesn't upset you? And think of all the suffering in the world. Those that are diseased, those that are blind, those that are paralyzed. And in the case of Naaman, God only healed one leper, and he let the others die with the leper. Isn't that a remarkable thing? And it doesn't bother you? That the world is filled with sick people, and God is a God of love, and God could heal them as he healed Naaman. And we come to the New Testament now, because the Lord Jesus is the one that brought this to our attention. I think that if I were a religious leader, I would be trying to make excuses for God. I would say, oh, God is the love of God. I would make some kind of excuse. The Lord Jesus makes no excuse. He tells them roughly that God heals whom he will, and God sees whom he will. And when he comes to John chapter 5 and he sees all of those sick people there, he goes up and he heals one of them, and he leaves the others just as they are. So these are unperformed miracles of our Savior. Those are the ones that trouble me. Now, there were some who at times, and it says, the Lord's arm is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. And so it was not that the Lord Jesus was devoid of power, or devoid of hearing and compassion, but it's just that the Lord Jesus had a plan given him by God, and he carried out that plan, and that plan included some, but it did not include the others. You say, this sounds unfair. This is unreasonable. A God who so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and a Son that was set as a great physician. Well, what physician that you know if he were in a hospital and he had the medicine to heal them in the hospital could go and give the medicine to one and let the other die of disease? Yet, this is the way it appears in the Word of God. As to what God does do, some people have stumbled by that. What I said to you is what God does not do. In like manner, what the Savior did is brilliant, and what he did not do is startling and upsetting. Let me give you another example. A Savior has been healing and preaching, and the whole town is excited, and they want him to come back and continue. And the apostles are looking for the Lord Jesus, and they're not able to find him anywhere. He'd gotten up a great while before the day, and he had gone out all alone, and he was praying to his Father. And finally they found him. And they said, everybody is looking for you. And he said, you have to leave them there. He said, I have other towns which I must visit and preach. So they wanted to hear the Word of God, and they wanted to be healed by the hand of the Son of God, and he left them there. Do you understand? The unperformed miracles of the Lord Jesus. Now, I'd like to bring some specific examples to you of those that asked the Savior to perform miracles, and he would not do it. And then something that is so humorous, I read you about some that came to the Lord Jesus, and they said, Teacher, we would see a miracle, a sign from you. And the Lord Jesus said, I'm not going to give you a sign. So there were some enemies of Christ that said, show us a sign. And the Lord Jesus said, I'm not going to show it to you. But then, in Luke chapter 13, our Savior, on the Sabbath day, is doing the will of God, and the leader of the synagogue comes up, and he says, there are 6 days in which men can be healed. You come and be healed on those days, and do not be healed on the Sabbath day. You see the humor? Some are asking for a miracle, and the Lord Jesus will not perform it. And now, this ruler of the synagogue says, do not perform a miracle. And the Lord Jesus says, I'm going to perform that miracle. So you can't figure out the way of the Lord Jesus. They say to him, do not perform a miracle. And the Lord Jesus says, I'm going to perform a miracle. And others come to him and say, perform a miracle. And the Lord Jesus says, a sinful and an adulterous generation seeks after a sign, seeks after a miracle. And I'm not going to perform that miracle for you. Now, this. That is a sign that was asked for in Matthew 12. The Lord Jesus says, no. I want to tell you something that comes to mind, and it's startling, that the first one who ever asked the Lord Jesus to perform a miracle and was refused was Satan himself. When Satan just began his ministry, he was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. What was he asking for? You say, a miracle. Did the Lord Jesus perform that miracle? He said, no. And he took him to the pinnacle of the temple. And he said, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down. Did the Lord Jesus perform that miracle? He said, no. So the first one who asked the Savior to perform a miracle was Satan, and he would not. Which is a clue as to why, instead of having limited miracles, there are less miracles than there are, for only specific reasons did the Lord Jesus perform miracles, and never for his own benefit alone did he perform a miracle. For instance, you remember the morning that he was hungry, and he looked on that fig tree, and it was barren, it had nothing to eat? Why did the Lord Jesus say, well, I'll perform a miracle. Let this fig tree be filled with ripe figs. But the Lord Jesus did not do that. He did not perform a miracle to make that tree perform and produce figs that he could. Just so much for that. So in the case of a miracle being performed to satisfy his personal needs, this is his answer. When Satan said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. You've been fasting for 40 days. You're in the point of starvation. And the Savior said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He said, God will take care of you. I'm not going to go ahead, but God will provide if I need food. Now, that is such a great help to me, because I'm thinking that if I've been hungry one day, 1 week, 2 weeks, we do not look up to the face of God and say, why are you letting me starve to death? The Lord Jesus is about food 40 days and 40 nights, and he could have miraculously turned those stones into bread. But he did not. Why? Because he said, it wasn't my Father's will. That is a great encouragement, because some people are deprived for a short period of time, some for a longer period of time, and then some to the utmost limit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look how to say it. In the case of Christ, no. An unperformed miracle, even for himself. I remember this years ago. It should be my thinking. When I was in the Navy, there was one man in charge of us. We had all joined the Navy, and we were going to boot camp, and we had to go off the train many miles. And the one in charge had given the one that was caring for us a handful of papers saying that we could eat anything we wanted. And so we went and ate meal after meal, but in the morning, it was a long time before we got to camp where we were going, and I said, look, let's go and have a good breakfast. He said, no, he said, we'll wait until we get to camp and eat there, and we'll save the challenges that they're given to us. I said, save them, what difference does it make? But he would not give a voucher, a remarkable man. And so here is our Savior, and he had the power to simply sow it in the bread, but he would not do that. He was going to wait until his Father was prepared to send him food. And then he did. He sent an angel and he fed him. And let me tell you this, lest you be discouraged. I tell you that some have to wait a while, and some longer, and some to the utmost. And some wait for God, and God never answers that prayer. You understand that? That later. Satan is the one who at first tempts our Lord to perform a miracle, and the Savior says, no. Here is another thing that's so interesting. In Luke chapter 9, our Savior has his face set going towards Jerusalem, and he goes into a city of the Samaritans. And the disciples who have gone to introduce him and make preparations, the Samaritans say, we are not receiving him. He's not coming into our city because his destination is Jerusalem. He's not coming in here. And this is what the disciples said. They said, Lord, wilt thou that we bid fire to come down from heaven and devour them, burn them up the way that Elijah did in the Old Testament? The Lord Jesus said, you know not what spirit you are of. You see what miracle those disciples wanted to have performed? They didn't ask the Lord to do it, but the one who had empowered him to perform miracles, he said, you want us to call down fire from heaven the way that Elijah did in the Old Testament. Now, here is a miracle that Jesus Christ did not perform. And thank God, in the case of the Samaritans, and thank God in your case and mine, that many of the miracles that were asked of the Lord were not performed, because to perform the miracle would bring harm, judgment, rather than good and blessing. Listen to this verse that you find in Psalm 99. It says concerning the nation of Israel, he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. And so there are some things that you ask of God, and God could give you your request, but if he did, he would send leanness into your soul. And we are unaware of it, but God does not perform miracles because instead of being a blessing, it would send leanness into our soul. Now, listen to the other group. I told you of Satan that asked for a miracle to be performed, and the Lord Jesus said no. His disciples asked for a miracle to be performed, and he says, no. Now, the ruler where our Savior is, Herod, he's wanted for ever so long a time to see the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's heard that our Savior is the great miracle worker. And so he says, now is my opportunity. I am in charge, and when he comes before me, then I will at last see a miracle performed. And Herod starts questioning our Savior. And he continues talking to him. And the Savior never answered him a word. I wanted to see a miracle. The Savior will say nothing to him and will do nothing for him. And it ultimately resulted in his crucifixion. Which brings me to this. You know that our Savior again concerning himself, when the enemies of Christ are about to arrest him, Peter pulls up the sword and says, Master, shall we smite with the sword? And the Lord Jesus said, put your sword back into the sheath. They that take the sword shall perish by the sword. Now listen to this. Do you not understand that even now I could beseech my Father, and he would send me more than 12 legions of angels? He said, well, yes. Peter is trying to protect his master with a sword and our Savior could call and miraculously have the Father descended 12 legions of angels, more than 12 legions. But he does not. He says, how should the scripture be fulfilled? So do you understand? Here is the miracle that was unperformed. It was destroyed all. Now, the other miracle is this. When our Savior is crucified between these two thieves, the first thief says to him, you are the Messiah, aren't you? Aren't you the Christ? Then save yourself and us. You are the promised Messiah. Then miraculously come down from the cross and get us down from the cross. And the Lord Jesus said nothing to him. So our Savior was hungry, but he could not perform a miracle to satisfy his own hunger. Our Savior was rejected by men, but our Savior would not have a miracle performed for vengeance on those that rejected him. Our Savior was before one in authority, ruled, that with Pilate could have set him free, and he would not perform a miracle. And his enemies laid hold on him, and the Lord Jesus could have had more than 12 legions of angels to come down from heaven, but he would not have a miracle performed. How should the scripture be fulfilled? Now think. Here is Satan again. Because when our Savior said in Matthew 16, I have to go to Jerusalem, I have to be rejected, I have to be crucified, and I have to be raised the third day. And Peter came to him and said, Lord, be it far from thee, we shall never be unto you. And the Savior turned and rebuked Peter and he said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Satan is telling us not to go to the cross. And now our Savior is on the cross. And Satan is saying, come down from the cross. But our Savior will not listen to the voice of Satan when he says, do not go to the cross, and he will not listen to the voice of Satan when he says, come down from the cross. And therefore, our Savior, instead of having the miracle performed, let what is written in the scripture occur. And this is the way he turned it out. He said, this is your hour, and the power of darkness. And he submits himself to the will of God. You say, that's a horrible thing. It certainly is. But if you're looking at your life, and the miracle that were not performed, and Christ could have done it, I'm sick and he could heal me. I'm weary and he could strengthen me. I need assistance and he deprived me. When you think of all of those things, then look at his life. He was hungry and he did not perform a miracle for himself. He was suffering and he did not perform a miracle for himself. And so you look at his whole life and what he went through. And never for his own benefit to escape the will of God was a miracle performed. And so then you think about it. And if in a minor way we are suffering or displeased or deprived in any way, we look at God and wonder why he doesn't come to our rescue. How strange. But here is one thing. When our Savior had people to come to him, sometimes he would immediately grant their request. I think of this. When that leper came to him, he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. And our Savior, being moved with compassion, put out his hand in action and did. No argument, simply saying, it is my will, it is what you want. My will is your will. You're healed. But at other times, our Savior would engage in conversation and would hold off that request for a period of time. You remember when that Phoenician woman came to him and she said, Lord, my daughter is grievously vexed of a demon. Save my daughter. Heal her. Remove that demon. And he said, Lord, she didn't say a word to her. And this is funny. When the Savior will not listen to her, temporarily, the woman goes and she's praying for the disciples. And then the disciples come and intercede for the woman. They say, would you please get rid of that woman? She's troubling us. She's bothering us. Send that woman away. And so finally the woman comes back to the Lord Jesus again, and our Savior insults her. He says, it is not fitting to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. And she said, "True, Lord, because the little dogs under the table eat of the master's crumbs." And Lord Jesus said, "Woman, grace is your faith. Go your way. Your daughter is healed." And so, a temporary denial does not mean a final denial. And there are some that were asked, and our Savior never answered. The thief on the cross, "Save yourself and us," he never answered. "Herod, show me a miracle." No miracle ever performed. The scribes and Pharisees, "When we see a miracle of thee," you're not going to get a miracle. And so some ask miracles, and some demand miracles, and they never occur. And others do. But there's one thing, and this is most beautiful. No one who genuinely came to Christ and asked him for a blessing would refuse that blessing. If he were sick, if he were blind, if he were infirm, if he were a leper, no one that ever came and genuinely petitioned the Lord Jesus ever denied that request. But something more beautiful than that. Some did ask, and they were refused. But there is a verse in John chapter 6 where another miracle is spoken of, not a physical miracle of healing, but a miracle of the heart. And the Lord Jesus said this. He said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out." That you may go to God today and ask him to perform a miracle for your child, for your health, for your welfare, and that miracle may never be performed. But I promise you this, that if you are lost and you go to the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "Him that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out." That means that every sinner, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There is never a repentant sinner that comes to the Lord Jesus and asks for salvation that is refused. "All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out." And I know a friend of mine that was saved by that verse. There were evangelistic meetings going on, and the man who was preaching was talking to this young man at that time. And he said, "I come and I want to be saved," he said, "but I don't know if the Lord would have me. I just don't know." And he read in that verse. He said, "This is this verse. Him that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. If he won't cast you out, what will he do?" And the young man said, "He will take me in." He said, "Ten times. And he will take you in." And so if you want that miracle of salvation, come to the Lord Jesus. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That is the promise of God. And so the unperformed miracles, those things will cause us to wonder our whole life long, but never in the light of salvation. Come to the Savior, and he will in no wise cast you out. Time is gone. Let us pray. Father, for the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. We confess that, our God. The only thing that we know, we who are saved, is that we are glad that you came to us and said, "Do you want to be saved?" And the Spirit drew us and you said, "Yes, Lord, I want to be saved." And you did save us. And everyone here who will come, you shall in no wise cast out. So our God, until that coming age, some of us will have to put up with our suffering, with our sorrow, with the burden of life. You've never promised to perform those miracles, but we're thankful that if we have a burden of sin, you come to me. You promise that if we come, you shall in a wise cast us out. Let us accept those things that are your will that we have to bear. But most of all, let us accept the will of God, because it is not the will of God that any should perish. May all here one day be in heaven, because they come to the Lord Jesus, and we say in the name, in whose name we pray. Amen.